one of you tell Stanley that I have asthma? Because I don't. If it gets out, they won't let me scuba. If I can't scuba, then what's this all been about? What am I working toward?
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. No guest this week. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do. We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. All right, we're going to get into it. Giants season has been over for quite some time. Very little to look forward to. We'll talk about the Cowboys game. We'll answer your questions. We'll get into the Russell Wilson debacle on Twitter and Albert Breer's Twitter Live or whatever he was doing on Periscope last night or 2 nights ago if you're listening to this on Wednesday. All right, Weiss, let's first of all, how are you? The week of Christmas. This is the ultimate mail time week. I'm trying to do as little as possible.
This is the ultimate PTO week. Well, next week is. Yeah. I think everyone takes next PTO.
Everyone, well, you know what? I'm like opposite. I enjoy working this week. Well, I'm a Jew, but I enjoy working this week because like all the everyone else is out. The clients are out. No one's doing work. Right. So might as well save your PTO and get paid to just sit on the couch watching bowl games.
Right.
So it's the
I'm sort of similar. I work do IT, so with the client is typically, you know, there's not a lot of emails going around this week, and then obviously next week it's a,
there's no one's releasing bug fixes or code fixes. No. You know, there's nothing you got to be on call for.
Really. No, nothing. So, but we are in the heart of, or towards the end of the regular season. The Giants season is over.
Been over.
This game. So I thought about how I wanted to approach this. And there's nothing to really talk about the game particular because, I mean, listen, Mike Glennon, he is who he is, okay? There's nothing I learned about this game. But here's one thing that made me sad about this, right? Not sad, but like, just be like, damn, we have fallen so much. Like, coming into the game, I wanted us to get embarrassed. I wanted to see, you know, MetLife Stadium filled with Cowboy fans. I had a buddy of mine who lives in Delaware, and he's a Cowboy fan, and he goes, when the Cowboys are here to play Washington, he goes to FedEx Field, and then occasionally when they're, you know, when they come to MetLife, he'll take the trip up to MetLife, right? So he's like sort of in the middle. And he texted me, it was at the game, he texted me, he said, man, this is worse than what FedEx is like when they're playing the Cowboys for the Giants, meaning that there were there were more Cowboy
heavy
fans
Cowboys
there. Yeah. He told me it's not 50-50, it's not 60-40. He was like, it's 70-30.
Yeah.
He was like, Cowboy fans were having tailgating events and inviting Cowboy fans to come to those events. And he's never seen that in a road game like
weeks.
That.
Yeah. It's been going on for weeks too. And I say this as someone whose father is a season ticket holder, got the PSL and everything like that. Dude, and it's not always like dominant road fans. He can't sell his tickets. Like, he cannot sell them for face value. The Carolina Panthers game, he listed them for half price and they didn't sell. The parking pass sold quicker than his tickets. His tickets didn't sell. Parking pass went immediately.
Right.
So it's bad. It's been bad for a while. And in the very long list of recent embarrassments for the New York Giants, not just on the field, but off the field, medium Pepsi, one per PSL. I mean, I feel like
so embarrassing.
Us discussing it on the podcast, we're right now recording on a Tuesday, you're listening to this on a Wednesday, it's sort of, you know, that ship has sailed. But like, let's not let that go, you know, as just like a headline for a week. That's right. Just an utter embarrassment. I don't give a shit what the organization is doing for fans, you know, this week or at the end of the season or whatever. Medium soda, one per PSL, not even one per ticket, is an embarrassment. And you know the team is bad and the organization is desperate when you have a player in Logan Ryan who is using his own salary to buy tickets and send them to license plate guy to give out for free. And don't get me wrong, it's the holidays and Joe is a very generous guy and he does a lot of charitable work and we love him for that. But to have to, like, the main goal of that was fill the stadium with Giants fans because yes. nobody wants to go.
Yes.
So just a laundry list of embarrassments for this season.
And the stadium
and this week
sucks.
Just seemed to pile on. Well, yeah, the stadium sucks.
Like, if it was like a nice
stadium,
you're like, I want to go see the stadium. The stadium is nice.
Right. No,
the stadium sucks.
Awful.
It's not even worth going.
No.
So I'm just watching that, and it's so embarrassing. And then, like, I don't know if people realize this, but Jerry Jones took a victory parade at the end of the game or after the game with the New York media. They asked him, I think it was someone from the New York Post, like they did a full-fledged interview with him about what it was like filling up Giant Stadium with Cowboy fans. And he basically said, it's great where, you know, our fans travel and blah, 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 blah. But he basically took a victory lap on John Mara. And I just think that this, it was utterly embarrassing. And I'll admit, I sort of had a meltdown on Twitter after the game because I was so fixated on the fact that how much we've fallen. Like, we know how much we've fallen. We see the results. But, like, nothing, like, nothing showed that more than just seeing everything about that Cowboy game. And we weren't competitive in that game. At no point was like, oh, we can win this. The talent gap is ridiculous. Seeing Cowboy fans there, it was 70-30, according to my buddy was there. He said it was pretty bad. And then on top of that, like, we're giving like a gracious exit to a general manager who, I mean, I sit down and I think about it and I look at the history and I looked at, you know, dating back to the 70s, you know, Dave Gettleman will go down as the worst general manager in New York Giants history. Like, I can't.
Maybe in New York sports history.
A lot of people say that, and I probably have to sit down and I have to talk to Jet fans and, you know,
sure.
Mets fans and all that. And I have to actually do. But he is.
Undoubtedly in Giants history.
Yes. The
undoubtedly.
Worst general manager.
And before people point to other records and other results, it's not just the records and the results.
No.
It's the resources that he had at his disposal. It's for back in the day when free agency didn't exist. Free agency exists today.
Yes.
This is missing on numerous top 5, top 10 draft picks. Like, given the resources that this man had, there has not been a bigger failure
yes.
at the general manager position in the history
yes.
of the New York Football Giants. And what you're about to say, Weiss, is 100% true, and I have feelings about it, that they are just going to let this man put out a retirement notice at the
yeah.
end of the season and exit graciously. For what? What has he done to deserve this? And where my feelings on that situation have pivoted is that I hated the hire. We both did not like the hire from day one. We agree that he should have been fired the second he handed in the Saquon Barkley pick at the podium in 2018. To the fact that John Mara let this general manager stay in his position for this long and let the organization sink to these levels, the day that they put out that retirement notice, I think I might be more angry
yes.
and upset than mm-hmm. I will be happy. Because we know, by all accounts, every media member that we've spoken to believes that at the end of this season, whether it's an in-house replacement or someone from the outside that comes in, that this is Dave Gettleman's last year as general manager.
Right.
And the fact that we know this, right? And what I compare it to is when you were little, right? Let's say the new Xbox comes out. And, you know, it's getting released in October or something like that, or November, whenever the typical release is for the major consoles. Your mom and your dad, they go out, they get you the new Xbox. But you know what? You can't play it until Christmas. And you know it's there, and they wrap it up, and it's sitting under the tree, or it's sitting in their closet waiting for day 7 of Hanukkah to get your brand new Xbox, your brand new gaming console. You know it's coming,
right.
But you can't play it. And that resentment just grows inside of you. Like, why can't I just have it now? Why can't John Mara just give this to me right now? And now, when they put out the retirement notice, instead of taking a victory lap and smoking that Cuban cigar that you've been hoarding for as long as you have been, I am going to instead sit there with a glass of whiskey that is probably irresponsibly large and just think back at how badly this man has fucked up the Giants over the last 4 years. And that he was allowed to do so. And even after he fucked up in 2018 and 2019, he was allowed to continue into 2020. And he fucked up 2020. And he fucked up 2021. Yeah. And by nature, 2022 is fucked.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to sit there just getting drunk and being grateful that he's gone, but probably more upset that this was allowed to continue as long as it was. And that John Mara can just sit there and not talk to the media except after a meaningless win against the Panthers. And say that the team's improving and that this general manager deserves to ride off into the sunset. Because he doesn't deserve it. He's done nothing to deserve it. And it is an insult to the fans like us, even the fans not like us, that this guy is able to maintain his position and just exit gracefully because he doesn't deserve it. The worst general manager in the history of the New York Giants franchise.
It's funny, if Dave Gettleman deserves to retire graciously and ride off into the sunset, Ben McAdoo deserves to be in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The bar is the floor.
I mean, it's insane. I think that's what makes me angry. And a lot of people will say,
When are we going to honor Pat Shurmur at halftime?
Right. I mean, people will say, well, what good does it do to fire him now? Well, it's about accountability. It's about sending a message. Like there is a standard. And you know, the interesting thing about that stat about how this was the first time in Giants history they've lost. You know, they had 10 plus losing seasons, 10 losses or more in 5 straight years. The last time was in the 70s and was 3. Because once upon a time, there was a level of expectation. One 10 loss season, you were on the hot seat. Two, you were going to be fired. They fired Tom Coughlin or retired Tom Coughlin, whatever you want to say, after 2 6-10 years. This man has been general manager for 4 years, immense amount of assets. I mean, it'll take us a whole podcast to talk about how many assets he had inherited as well. And the team has lost 10 games a year under him, and we get to write off graciously. I mean, it just shows how much, another example of how much this organization has just fallen and continues to fall. And I thought Sunday, given everything, the Pepsi, the fact that it was filled with Cowboy fans and Jerry Jones taking the victory lap and the game being non-competitive and just showing the talent gap between the two teams. And you're just reminded that, you know, Dave Gettleman is going to be retired graciously. All this embarrassment of the last 4 years, and there's going to be no accountability. The only accountability we're going to see over these last 4 years in terms of people that have made roster decisions is Pat Shurmur being fired, and who knows what's going to happen with some other members of the front office.
Pretty much.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And I don't like John Mara. He's definitely to blame in the Mara family, how they run the organization. But what people need to understand is Dave Gettleman came in. He was the leader of the pack. The decisions he made in 2018 and 2019. You and I have both asked numerous people throughout the years about that decision in 2018 to stick with Eli Manning and try to rebuild. Dave Gettleman advocated for that. He wanted to do that. There was no, this is what we want to do. Was there a, hey, we think Eli Manning can still play and you... And but Dave Gettleman wanted to do that. He wanted to build around Eli Manning. He wanted to double down on that roster. And the decisions that he made over the course of those 24 months in 2018 and 2019 played a role in where we are. And then, and this is the crazy part, you let him do it again. He essentially did it again. He got to rebuild with a new head coach in 2020, spend money in 2020 and in 2021, and now you're even...
Was allowed to spend high draft capital on a quarterback.
Yes. You were... Forget that. Forget that he was allowed to pick the quarterback. Just think about the fact that he spent in 2018, and he did spend. Nate Solder, right? Odell Beckham, give him the big, big money contract. Trade for Alec Ogletree. He was able to spend. Then he spent again in 2019. Then they scratched all of it, brought in Joe Judge, spent that offseason, right? James Bradberry, Blake Martinez. And then they spent again last year with Adoree Jackson and Kenny Golladay. And oh, by the way, a big money contract to Leonard Williams. He was allowed to do that twice.
Yeah.
And he failed both times.
Miserably.
Miserably. So that, to me, that was the, when you talk about recapping the Dallas game, that was the recap. Just seeing how much this organization has fallen. And then thinking about the fact that how much lack of accountability there is, where this guy is going to get to retire. What is John Mara going to say when he stands up there? Dave Gettleman did a great job.
He tried his hardest.
What can you say?
He did his darn best. Years of service to this team.
I don't.
While years giving years of disservice to the loyal fans. And again, just the going back to the Cowboys game, like just a total, glaringly obvious issue with talent evaluation,
yes.
Where Colt McCoy and Mike Glennon both signed for virtually the same amount of U.S. dollars this past offseason. The Giants willingly let Colt McCoy, who, by the way, won them a big and improbable game in Seattle last year,
right,
in favor of Mike Glennon. Why? I don't know. Because they are useless at evaluating talent. Going into the season with Nate Solder at right tackle, and saying, we obviously have more confidence in the guys in the room than you guys do. Well, boy, I guess it turns out that we, the fans, and the bloggers and the podcasters were correct. Because, yet again, Matt Peart goes out there, two false starts on one drive. These guys sat down and said, you know what? We feel comfortable in a make or break year for us as the front office executives and for Daniel Jones as a third year quarterback, feel comfortable going into this season with Nate Solder and Matt Peart at right tackle. Oh, and by the way, one of those guys I personally scouted when I was the special teams coach in New England, and the other one I helped scout during the pre-draft process. And I was okay with this. I felt comfortable that I could rely on one for veteran performance and the other I could rely on to develop into a serviceable swing tackle. Not the case. Not the case.
Charles Leno signed for, I think, $4 million. Morgan Moses signed for like $3 million. How would you like those guys as right tackles?
I would love them.
You don't need to break the bank to find a stable right tackle or a stable offensive lineman.
Listen, you're not going to get a stud, no. But you can get better than Solder and Peart. It's disgusting. And then you have, obviously, Devontae Booker outperforming his backup, Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
And it's a mess. It's a mess.
I don't know what you do. Well, I do know what you do with Saquon Barkley.
You trade him.
I disagree with the assumption that you can't get something for him. I don't think you're going to get a first-round pick for him, but I do think...
Agreed.
I do think... I would not surprise me if you couldn't get a second-round pick for him. Somebody...
I really don't know because of where he is at this point in the contract and what you're going to have to pay him. But, like, again, we have spent 4 years with Dave Gettleman as our general manager. NFL teams are so dumb.
Yes.
We're about to talk heavily in this episode about a player whose team traded two first-round picks for a strong safety who is not very good. So there is going to be a team willing to take a chance on Saquon Barkley. I don't care what the compensation is. I just want him off the roster so that we don't have to pay him.
You almost have to now, I mean, given the whole salary cap situation. By the way, I mean... restructuring Kyle Rudolph and Riley Dixon's contract.
Embarrassing.
I mean, if you were to tell me, hey, who, right off the top of your head, who are two guys that you are certain are going to get cut? Cutting next season. I would say Kyle Rudolph and Riley Dixon.
Undoubtedly. And the man responsible for that is being floated in the media by the organization as a potential Dave Gettleman replacement. It's disgusting.
By the way, I don't understand. I understand Jason LaConfora said that, what he said. I read the article.
Jason LaConfora is more full of shit than Dave Gettleman.
First of all, I'm not going to defend him, but that's he. What the headline was and what Jason LaConfora actually said are two separate things.
Yes.
What he was giving was an opinion. He felt like
correct.
Kevin Abrams was going to be a candidate. It was not something that
and he obviously is going to be a quote-unquote candidate.
Right. He's going to get interviewed. I think we all expect that. But what people need to understand is that I don't think that that's something John Mara is going to do for a multitude of reasons. The main one
being, and if he does, I'm going to crowdfund a billboard.
That's the main reason why, because there will be a revolt.
That's a promise. His fan base. I'm just like I said to Saquon Barkley, if you request a trade, I'll donate $2,000 to whatever charity he's associated with. If they hire Kevin Abrams as GM of the New York Giants, I'm going to crowdfund and organize a billboard. It's going to be real simple, right? It's going to be with either Quest Diagnostic Center or MetLife in the background. It's going to be on the Turnpike Highway. It's going to be just the John Mara clown face. That's it. It's just going to be the John Mara clown face. And whatever money is excess and left over that doesn't need to be used towards the billboard will get donated to the J Fund.
Kevin Abrams has been the assistant general manager of the Giants since 2002, which means he was passed up on being the general manager in 2007 when they hired Jerry Reese, and then he was passed up again in 2018 when they hired Dave Gettleman.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
And I'm being genuine here because I don't know the answer, even though I think I know the answer.
Yes.
Has Kevin Abrams ever been interviewed by another football team for their general manager vacancy?
I believe there was one team that interviewed him, yes.
Or was that Mark
Ross? It was Mark Ross, but I think he was floated as a potential candidate too. They just never interviewed him.
Okay, so they didn't interview him.
Yeah. But the Chicago Bears.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Got cool, it. By the way, whose owner gets his advice from
John Mara.
Yes.
Yes.
But after talking with Ian O'Connor last week, it sort of calmed me a little bit on the Abrams idea.
Agreed.
Where I think that's somebody that's really, really close to John Mara. And I think he was pretty, not adamant, but pretty certain that it was not going to be an in-house hire at all.
Yeah.
Which it shouldn't be. But, I mean, the guy's been passed up twice by John Mara. I don't see how he can be the person. I think there's going to be an outside hire. I just don't know who it's going to be at this point.
All right, we're going to try a new question format.
Yes.
This time around. We're going to just be a little more casual with it.
Yeah, because for the record, there's nothing about this season that matters anymore.
Right.
You know, like there's nothing.
Well, yes and no. So that's actually a very good segue to our first question from Tyler.
Yes.
Who says, we've seen this before. The Giants suck but win meaningless games down the stretch. Do you think winning any of the last two or three games has an effect on Judge's job?
I do. I think it does. I think it does.
Me too. I think if they get embarrassed like they continue to do, then yeah, I think it makes it
right.
harder for John Mara to justify bringing him back.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think if you ask me right now, I think he's back.
I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
I think it's unfortunate. Based on what Ian O'Connor told us last week,
right.
It fits perfectly with, and if you didn't listen to the episode, go back and listen. It's like the final two-thirds of the episode. Ian O'Connor from New York Post is on. He gave us some pretty good insight into John Mara's very stupid brain. But it was essentially like, he's literally like a snake oil salesman. Right. Like Joe Judge put on his NYPD cap and went into the interview and just said the blue collar things that John Mara thinks represents the fan base of New York and New Jersey, even though there are plenty of white collar members of the Giants fan base, like us, you know, like I don't have a pickup truck and I'm not working construction. You know, like, it's such, like, and not that there's anything wrong with that. Right. I'm not saying that. It's just, like, this is a very diverse fan base. Yeah. And for John Mara to think that, like, this 1980s smash mouth, oh, we're gonna run the ball, we're going to stop the run, like, that doesn't resonate with today's fan base. Especially with members of the fan base that are under the age of 35 like we are.
Mara's looking too much at the back end of the turnpike, needs to look forward a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, just so ass backwards his way of thinking that, like, I can absolutely see a world where he believes that bringing Joe Judge back is, like, the right thing because he says the right things. But, they get embarrassed by in their last three games. I mean, what's the schedule? Washington football team.
Well, they got Philly, Eagles. Philly, Chicago, Washington.
I mean, could you imagine if the Bears embarrassed them?
That's the one. That
would be awesome. Awesome. If Matt Nagy, lame duck head coach,
yes,
with Justin Fields, who I didn't even like in the draft,
right,
but who is not even playing well,
no,
if that team embarrasses the Giants, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think I don't think it's set in stone that he's back. I certainly don't think that they're gonna go through the GM process and, you know, only hire a candidate or limit themselves to just a candidate that's worked with Joe Judge. I think this is gonna be where this is headed. Where I think this is headed, and I could be wrong, obviously, but I think this is headed toward a full search. Does that mean they're not? They're absolutely not going to hire somebody that could be from the Belichick tree. No, but I do think this is going to be a wide range search. And Joe Judge's future, I'm not ready to just say he's going to be back. I think there's still three important weeks left for him. And if what happened last Sunday against Dallas is similar to what's going to happen down the road, I think it does not bode well for Joe Judge. I think he has to win some of these games, especially the Chicago one. And I'll take you one step further. He cannot lose that last game against Washington either, especially if Washington's playing for something. Because Dallas basically celebrated the NFC East title on your home field, in MetLife Stadium. If Washington celebrates a playoff berth on John Mara's field, I think that's even more embarrassing. And when you factor in the Chicago game, I certainly don't think it's set in stone that Joe Judge is going to be back, regardless what he says. There's a lot of uncertainty there. Gun to my head right now.
Yeah.
I don't think he's back next year.
Okay.
I don't think
he is. Unless he gets utterly embarrassed in these last few games.
I don't think he's back next year. That's just my gut feeling.
Okay.
But my gut is closer to my heart than it is my brain, so
yeah.
Who knows?
Fair. All right. Someone asked us to rank our top three GM candidates.
Ooh. Gonna go Ed Dodds, number one.
Yeah.
Colts, what is he like? He's an assistant.
He's the VP of player personnel.
Okay.
I think.
Ed Dodds.
Or maybe he was, and now he's the assistant GM.
Gotcha. All right.
Yes, he is now the assistant GM. He was promoted from VP of player personnel.
Ed Dodds.
Yeah. Let me say something real quick about Ed Dodds. I have gone back and forth on Dodds a bit. I think, well, one, he was, you know, part of the Seattle Super Bowl winning team.
Right.
So if you're hoping for Russell Wilson, I think that could be helpful. Two, he obviously built a very strong team in Indy, very strong on both offensive line and defensive line. Didn't use heavy top resources at the skill position, knows how to maximize a running back. All that's good. The one thing that I love about Ed Dodds that I feel like goes undiscussed is he brought in Frank Reich. And there was the obvious connection between Frank Reich and Carson Wentz from Philadelphia when Reich was the quarterback's coach there. And really was the only reason that Carson Wentz was a successful quarterback when he was there in Philadelphia. Now, I don't think Carson Wentz is very good, personally. I think that if there's any reason that the Colts will sink rather than swim during this final stretch or into the playoffs is because of Carson Wentz. But I do think that there is something to be said for that very clear collaboration between general manager and head coach, where that connection was there. This was a team that struggled to find a quarterback after the Andrew Luck retirement because they were never bad enough to have a top pick.
They faced a lot of adversity. They faced a lot.
A lot of adversity, yeah. And Dodds has been there to help them through it, and there's that very obvious collaboration between general manager and head coach, especially when it came to the quarterback position. I don't think that that should go understated, and he is definitely up there in terms of GM options.
Yeah, I also was read something in the with Indianapolis local media where his role has grown over the years immensely. He's definitely more than just sort of leading their scouting department. I mean, he's constantly, you know, he understands, you know, more than just the draft. He understands more than just picking players and having an eye for talent. Because at first I was a little bit weary of the whole scout. I wanted somebody that knows more than just eye for talent, and I want somebody that understands maneuvering in the draft and understanding free agency. And then, you know, after reading more about it, Dodds, I actually read about him while the Colts game was on against the Patriots last Saturday. And then my second option is Joe Hortz, who's the director of college scouting for the Baltimore Ravens. Similar role to as Ed Dodds, where Joe Hortz has in Baltimore. Listen, Baltimore, it speaks for themselves. They're always competing. They're always in the middle of it. They'll have injuries galore, but you look and they're playing meaningful football January.
It seems like every year they lose a major pass rusher to free agency and don't lose a beat.
Exactly. I mean,
their entire secondary has been decimated.
They're
starting was it Tyler Huntley at quarterback against the Packers.
Right.
And they're in games. Yeah. I mean, obviously Harbaugh is an incredible coach and a big part of that.
Right.
But, I mean, don't underestimate the scouting and the personnel. He's a good
choice.
They've
built a strong roster there where they've been able to overcome things. Like, it's very easy for them to be, you know, a 5-6 win team and point to injuries. And it would have been excusable. But they are competing. And then you talk about what they've done with Lamar Jackson. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You want to talk about forward thinking. You want to talk about, you know, changing your whole philosophy and adapting to the new era of football. Look at Baltimore. They had Joe Flacco. And they went from Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson. That's like, you know...
Yep.
There's a big difference there. And I think that that organization has really, really adapted well. And they're winners. They're winners. They've won two Super Bowls and constantly in the playoffs, winning playoff games, winning the division. And they play in a really tough division as well. It's not no cupcake division where you can just say, oh, you know, they don't have good teams. All four of those teams are good. Obviously, you got the Steelers there and, you know, Baltimore is always there. They're always in. And I think that's a great organization to sort of look at and model yourself from. And the third option, and, you know, I go back and forth on this one. But I'm going to stick with Mike Borgonzi. Although I will say, the more I read on Dave Ziegler of the Patriots, the more it intrigues me. But Borgonzi is just a guy. He's sort of more... He's a more hotter candidate for me. And I think his ceiling, I think, is just as high in terms of what he can turn the Giants into as Ziegler. I just don't think his floor is as low. And it would be, again, somebody that understands how to be a general manager. It's more than just scouting and picking players. It's, you know, maneuvering the draft. It's free agency. It's spending money, where to spend it, where not to spend it, positional value. So those are my three guys. Ed Dodds, Joe Hortz, and Mike Borgonzi. How about you?
What are your thoughts on... Well, you have two of my three.
Yeah.
Borgonzi and Dodds.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on Monty Ossenfort?
I sort of like Dave Ziegler more. Both of them, okay. Both of them are New England guys, but I sort of like Dave Zeigler more. Austin Fort wouldn't be bad. Here's the thing, though, and this is what the New England candidates or the guys from New England, they're not bad candidates. Like they're not this, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not like that's a terrible candidate. Now they're not the top of the list, but like, no. they're not necessarily like, none of them are like Dave Gettleman bad or Lewis Riddick bad.
It's tough to. Yeah.
I'm talking. Go back to 2017 in the hiring process. Like, they're not.
Sure.
They're not. They're not bad candidates. I just don't think they're the best available candidates.
Yeah. All right. This is a question that can lead us into our.
Is Monty Olson Fort your third guy?
It's tough for me. I mean, it's really like Dodds and Borgonzi and the rest. Like, I could live with, but I'm generally anti-Patriot when it comes to the GM role, just looking at their drafts over the last few years.
But Austin Fort was in New England 2 years ago.
What do you mean?
Monty Austin Fort was in New England. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But he's just,
that's what I'm saying.
He's your third option.
No, I asked you what your thoughts were on
that. Oh, okay.
I'm saying Dodds and Borgonzi are my two. After that, I could really care less. But I am generally anti-New England because they haven't drafted well over the last 10 years, really. You know, they had a very good free agency this past season. They obviously got a lot of guys back, especially on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of players took off that year for COVID.
Uh-huh.
It was really sort of like a wash of a year. Like, they obviously nailed the Mac Jones pick, but I really do question, like, watching McDaniels and what he does this next offseason is going to be very interesting. It always has been an interesting guy to keep an eye on,
right?
Because a lot of teams have courted him. And I'll say this, watching Joe Judge flounder in New York and watching all of the former Patriot coordinators that have left and not found success, and then you look at McDaniels, a guy that Bill Belichick seemingly does not want to leave the building. He is there forever. Obviously had a failed head coaching stint before, but Belichick has held on to him. There was that Colts drama. He's a guy that's valued there. And if he does leave, what's that?
You said McDaniels, right?
McDaniels, yeah. Yeah, it'll be for the right opportunity. A lot of people are connecting him to Jacksonville right now because of Trevor Lawrence. But I think him and Belichick are the main reasons for that team's success, not their drafting.
I know the connection is there with Jacksonville. I just don't think Jacksonville can afford to take a chance on Josh McDaniels, given what has happened with him in the past, Denver and Indianapolis, especially after the Urban Meyer thing. I think Jacksonville, Byron left, which makes a lot of sense in Jacksonville.
I agree.
But
Stan
Florida. But they need, see, Jacksonville needs sort of what the Giants need. Jacksonville needs to shake up how they run their football operations. Like, it's,
yes.
The head coach is obviously going to be important for them, but they need a full rebuild of their front office. And their ownership there, Shad Khan, he needs to sort of back off a little bit. I think he's too much involved in making football decisions, and I don't think he's necessarily has that, you know, experience of him making the right hires.
They need a CEO.
Exactly. They do.
Yeah.
They do need a CEO. And they need to bring in somebody that can really revamp that organization because, listen, they Trevor Lawrence, I think, is going to be really, really good in this league. But I think what I realized this year is that he can easily be broken too. And right now, it's very important that they put the right people in there, not just from the coaching staff, but front office that can build around this young quarterback. So Jacksonville, I think, it's a risk with McDaniels, but they got to rebuild their front office. So I'm with you, man. I think, you know, this sort of the larger point with the head coaches is there's not really a lot of head coaching candidates that wow me. So if the Giants,
but again, we don't know who's going to be out there,
right? So if the Giants were to say, listen, like if the Giants run an honest GM search, and a lot of people say, well, how do you know it's going to be honest? You're not in the interview room. That's true. I'm not. You know, I'm just. But if they interview the right more people, and this is a much larger search, and they hire somebody, and that GM comes in and is like, hey, I'm going to spend the first year, you know, evaluating the entire football operations, and I'm going to give Joe Judge a year. That's something I can sign up for. Like, I'm not totally...
But we're not going to know that.
I'm with you, right? We're going to look at it, obviously, when that decision happens and be like, this is the wrong decisions. But what he does after that is going to be important, right? Like, if he truthfully comes in, and I'm overseeing it from a two-year perspective, right? And he comes in 2022, it's about shedding the contracts, evaluating Joe Judge, you know, building for the future. I can live with that. The only thing I cannot live with is limiting the search to two candidates and two guys that work for the Giants right now.
Yep.
I can't do that.
Agreed.
Can't do that.
All right. Transitioning a little bit.
Yeah.
Would you rather
mm-hmm.
great offensive line
mm-hmm.
and a rookie quarterback in 2023, but it means the Giants are not real contenders until 2025 or 2026,
mm-hmm.
or Russell Wilson, an average to above average offensive line, and you're ready to compete in 2023?
I'm going to say this, if you give me some time to answer this.
I'll say this. We don't need to answer the question explicitly.
Right.
Let's just have an open conversation about
it. I got you.
The rumors.
Here's what people need to understand, okay? And I can't believe I have to say this all the time. There is nothing in the National Football League more important. Nothing. And this is a factual statement, even though it's coming off as an opinion.
No, I'm gonna amend your statement, actually. Yeah.
There is
nothing more important in professional sports.
Okay, let's take it a step further. In professional sports, than the quarterback position. I don't care how great your roster is. I don't care how great your offensive line is. I don't care how great your defense is. If you do not have a franchise quarterback, life is hard for you. Your ceiling is not that high as a team in terms of success. And there's a good chance you're either in mediocrity or fighting to be mediocre. Are there teams with no quarterbacks who've snuck into the playoffs and even won a playoff game? Yes. But if you look at history, the teams that are constantly in contention, that are constantly playing for Super Bowls, that are constantly winning 10, 11, 12, 13 games a year are the teams with a franchise quarterback. More specifically, teams with an elite quarterback. Now, Russell Wilson. This is the whole discussion. I saw Albert Beer's 15-minute, you know, Q&A that he did during halftime. He talked about him thinking that Russell Wilson is the quarterback of the Giants and everyone pointing to the fact as how can any quarterback be successful behind this offensive line? Well, first of all, because there are many quarterbacks who are successful behind bad offensive lines. And I hate to break it to you, but the Giants, by certain metrics and most metrics, are not the worst offensive line in football. They are one of the worst. If you're looking for an example, look at Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. Look at the Chargers and Justin Herbert. Look at, over the years, Seattle and Russell Wilson.
Which, by the way, the evaluation of Russell Wilson and people saying, well, I don't know, he's a bit old. Russell Wilson, in 2020, threw for 4,212 yards, 40 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, with a 105.1 passer rating.
And they went 12-4.
And they went 12-4 and won their division.
On a roster, let me tell you, on a roster that I don't think is that much better than the Giants, particularly on the offensive line and certain parts on the defense.
Yes.
And I don't think Pete Carroll has necessarily been a good coach over the last couple of years.
He hasn't. He's been awful over the last
I don't think
years.
He's made the right hires. Their defensive coordinator, Ed Norton, first of all, why does he wear white tape on his fingers? Every time I see that, it just really like... I'm like, what is he doing?
Bugs you.
Yeah, like, what yeah. are you doing? Offensive coordinators, he hasn't hired the right ones. I think, you know, he had Brian Schottenheimer there last year, right?
Or 2 years ago. Yeah, I don't know.
They got Shane Waldron from the Rams there this year. I think overall, Pete Carroll's philosophy is very outdated. That's why I think he's on his way out of Seattle if they, you know, continue to lose. But they're not out of this yet. they win today, they're a game out of the wild card after everything that has transpired with Russell Wilson. But my point...
And he's been hurt this year.
Right. And that's my point, is that when you are looking, like when we say rebuild, right? First of all, understand, every single player that the Giants pick or bring in is not going to be there for 10 years, right? Especially in the offensive line. They're not going to find four starting offensive linemen in the draft. They're lucky if they find two. Okay? Let's just understand that. Now, compensation. What do you give up for Russell Wilson? Nobody is saying mortgage everything. Give them everything. Whatever they want. Blank check. No. What's a reasonable price tag? For me, a reasonable price tag for Russell Wilson was, and for the record, I do not think Seattle's trading Russell Wilson. I think they're going to rebuild around him. But for the sake of conversation, what is the price tag you would give for Russell Wilson? Well, you made the...
And can I say, before you give the price tag,
yes,
keep in mind, he has a no-trade clause.
Right. He does.
So he has leverage.
Yes.
He would waive the no-trade clause and say, I want to go here.
He's based...
I want to go here, here, and here. And how many years does he have left on his current contract?
I believe 1 or 2 years. 2 years? 2 years on his contract?
Okay.
But if you're trading for him...
I am not playing another snap for you. This is where I want to go. Make it happen.
Yeah. What is the price tag? What would you give up? This is what I would give up. I would give the Bears pick or my pick, whichever one the Seahawks want.
Whichever one's higher. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll give them one of the first this year, guaranteeing myself at least one top 10 pick this year. I would give them one of the picks. I would give them Miami's third round pick. By the way, we also have Miami's third round pick in case people forgot. I would give them next year's one. I would give them next year's three. So two ones, two threes. And then if they say, hey, we want a player like, I don't know, Dexter Lawrence. Say, okay, you got a deal. I want Daniel.
What are you doing with Daniel Jones?
If they say I want Daniel Jones, I would be hesitant. Here's why. I think in a standalone trade with Daniel Jones, I think the Giants could get more in terms of return.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, I would agree with that.
I think if you take Daniel Jones and you trade him to a team, you can get back similar, maybe more, to what the...
Sam Darnold.
Yes.
I'm on board with this.
And then you take Saquon Barkley and you trade Saquon Barkley for a third-round pick, second-round pick, whatever. Now you're looking at a situation where you're going into the draft. You got your quarterback in Russell Wilson. You got a top 10 pick. And you got multiple seconds or third or multiple thirds because you traded Daniel Jones and you traded Saquon Barkley. And then maybe, listen, it's going to be tough. But you got some high-priced defensive players like a James Bradbury. Maybe a team is willing to trade a fourth or something like that for Bradbury. Or maybe you can get something like that for James Bradbury. I don't know what Blake Martinez is. I don't think he has no trade value. But you do it like that. And then all of a sudden you're looking at, okay, I got a good slew of draft capital, right, going into 2022. And I got my franchise quarterback for the next 5 years in Russell Wilson. I'm ready to go. I can build a roster where we're good enough to compete. I have to make some adjustments, right? I have to, you know, assure my offensive line. Got to be able to rebuild my running game. You know, defense is going to need work. It's not going to be perfect, but guess what? I have a franchise quarterback, an elite quarterback. He doesn't need a perfect environment to be successful. How do you know? Because we just saw it in Seattle.
For the last 7 years. Yes.
There you go. It's not the end of the world. You can do both. But again, it all goes back to who they hire. Hire the right guy. The right decisions can be made. So that's my take on Russell Wilson. I hope people understand. This is not a situation. You have to get this mentality away that every draft pick is going to be here for 10 years. It's not going to be that way. And you can't.
We've seen that.
And the worst thing you can do is say, Bryce Young. There's so many things that can play into it. We've constantly seen this team be bad win games, knock themselves out of playoff, out of high draft pick contention. Stop playing these type of games. And if you're willing to mortgage your future for Bryce Young, why aren't you doing it for Russell Wilson?
Exactly.
Russell Wilson. I always go back.
It's the Peter Griffin timeshare skit.
So that's how.
What's in the mystery box?
And listen, I'm not advocating for Russell Wilson. I'm not getting my hopes up because I don't believe that Seattle is going to trade him. And I understand if a GM comes in and says I need the capital because I'm tearing this thing down and just rebuilding from the ground up. And I'm with that. If a GM comes in and has that mentality, I'm for it. I'm absolutely for it. But if he comes in and says, hey, I don't need to fully tear it down. I gotta fill some key spots on my offensive line and in my on my defensive line. But I can work around some of these weaknesses because I know this quarterback is going to make me be a contender sooner rather than later, then I'm for it, man. And I want to say this, and I sort of we talked about this in a group text. It is much more easier to build a contending team around an elite quarterback than it is around a mediocre quarterback who's uncertain in the NFL.
That was one of the strongest arguments you made in that group.
Yeah.
Because the quarterback elevates the mediocre pieces around him.
Yes.
If the quarterback himself is mediocre, you need far more elite pieces around him.
Yes.
It is not as easy.
No.
And Giants fans have been hurt by the front office of this team into thinking that what we are discussing is impossible. It is not impossible. It is done year in and year out by other organizations around the league.
Is it going to take talent? Yes. Is it going to take skill? Yes. Is it going to take some luck? Absolutely. A lot of this is luck.
Always does.
But
sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Yes. But if you put both these packages on the table, all things equal, if the option is there to get Russell Wilson for a package like you just laid out or something comparable, I do that 12 times out of 10.
Let's get even.
And I don't think twice.
Let's get even more crazy. Let's say you're sitting there in the top 10. You got Russell Wilson. The team calls just like they did last year and says, hey, we'll give you a one. Let me move up. All of a sudden.
I want Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. All of a sudden, guess what? You got your one back.
Yeah.
Look, man, people just. It's just. I don't know if they're overthinking it or if they're not thinking about it enough.
They're not thinking about it enough. It is
a doable situation. But people just. I think they just. Is it a hoardering mentality? Like, I just need to have all the picks. Because every pick is going to work out.
Maybe.
Look, man, this is a top five quarterback in the NFL. A quarterback that we've seen be successful with a bad roster. I don't know. I don't know why people continue to just dismiss this and put the same value on an elite quarterback as they do on an offensive lineman. It just confuses the hell out of me.
Yeah.
That's why
it's nuts.
It is nuts. But I really, really hope that people, I think we just spoke about this for what, 10 minutes. I hope people really understand what we mean when we say.
And one other thing.
Yeah.
It's not about 2021.
2022.
Sorry. It's not about 2022. It is about the next 5+ years. Okay? Look at the quarterback play around the league. Be like, oh, you know, Russell Wilson's going to be 34. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is going to be 39. Weiss, do you know that? Aaron Rodgers is going to be 39. Do you know Tom Brady's going to be 44? Did you know on August 1st next year, I'm going to be 29?
I'm 30.
People age.
They do.
Yeah, we get it. Some maintain their elite abilities far longer than others. And Russell Wilson is that guy.
5 years.
He is in that company.
I don't know. 5 years of elite quarterback play goes a long way.
A long way.
Goes a long way. Yeah, if you have a
look at these teams around the NFL. Yeah. Like, how long do their windows actually last? Sometimes they last forever. Like the Patriots or any team involving Tom Brady, the Packers, Like you have an elite quarterback. Like, your window is open for a while.
Russell Wilson adds at least, a healthy Russell Wilson adds at least, guarantees you at least 5 wins. How you can find, or 6 wins, you know, him alone, he's good for that. You can win, now obviously you win certain games by defense playing well, or you get lucky and get a stop, something like that, but It's not hard, man. It's not as hard as the Giants have made it out to be. You can make it work.
I mean, look at the games that the Giants lost this season.
Yeah,
only put 13 points up against the Broncos. Lose by 1 against Washington. You only put 14 points up against the Falcons.
Denver is a great example. When people say you got
what you win two of those games.
Yeah, you know when people say like, well, you got to build this and you got to build that and you got to have this and you got to have that. Denver has all that.
Yeah, and listen, they're a threat to trade for Wilson also.
But guess what Denver doesn't have right now?
They don't have a quarterback.
They don't have a quarterback.
But even, listen, I want to play this stupid hypothetical game. Like, the Giants started 0-3, losing to the Broncos, to Washington, and to the Falcons. And fine, the Broncos put up 27. The Giants lost by 1 to Washington. The Giants lost at home by 3 to the Falcons. Maybe they win those two games if they have Russell Wilson at quarterback.
They do win those games.
Go further down the schedule. Prime time against the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
They lost by 3. They lost by 3 to the Chiefs. They win that game with Russell Wilson. That's 3 wins right there.
The Chiefs got points off a just horrendous mistake by Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
The interception.
The Dolphins? That's 4 games.
You're not saying the Giants roster is great and needs work.
No.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that Russell Wilson solves all. This is the take that I've maintained. Russell Wilson in 2022 turns you into a playoff team.
Yes.
Russell Wilson in 2023, given the correct hires, a general manager with an ounce of financial literacy and an ounce of understanding of positional value in 2023 turns you into a Super Bowl contender.
Yes.
Okay? Like you said, you need a little bit of luck. You need skill. You need some things to go right. But that only happens when you have that quarterback in place.
Yes.
Okay? Aaron Rodgers has only won 1 Super Bowl. Does that mean you don't want Aaron Rodgers as your fucking quarterback? He is the greatest quarterback in my eyes that I have watched.
I agree.
He's only won 1 Super Bowl. Must be a fucking bust. I mean, come on.
People don't understand. They're treating the quarterback position like it's a cheap hooker. You can find him anywhere. You can find him anywhere. Oh, 2 years.
I want to marry Russell Wilson.
2 years down the road, there's going to be this quarterback that we're going to draft. Okay, buddy. You can't even predict to me what's going to happen in 2 weeks. Now you're talking to me about 2 NFL drafts later? No. No, 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 no.
And by the way, I don't even think Bryce Young's all that.
I haven't even thought about Bryce Young, the NFL quarterback.
Is he a freshman?
Yeah, I think so. He's either.
Yeah, you know who else had a really good freshman year in college? Jake Fromm.
Yes. I was trying to see how this ties to the Giants, but yeah, Jake Fromm was.
Yeah, Jake Fromm had a really good freshman year.
Wasn't Matt Barkley another one who had a great year, went back to college, and then?
Yeah, I don't know.
Look, I understand. You know, in a perfect world, Ethan, the quarterback falls into your lap and he's good from day one and you're competing from day one and everything's great, right? You didn't give up anything to get him. He just fell right in your lap, right? But that's not how it works. It's not how it works. You got to take some risks. You got to be aggressive. And I just don't understand this notion of, I have to build my roster first before I go get a quarterback. No. You can do both.
Yes.
And depending on how good your quarterback is, you can mask a lot of those deficiencies in your roster.
Mm-hmm. Damn straight.
Oh, man.
All right. Any other questions you want to tackle? We're running up on an hour.
I got nothing else for you, man.
Me neither.
I got nothing else. I think over the course of the remainder of the 3 games, the remainder of this season, what's left of it, I think we're going to see a lot of these topics come up as we get closer to the off season, and You know, we're going to try to bring some guests on for people and, you know, yep. anticipated GM search, maybe head coaching search. So it's going to be a fun time after the season is over. In the meantime, let's just stay strong and get through it.
Yep. So we're here to help.
Yeah, we are. We are here to help.
All right. We'll wrap it up. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me, Ethan GSN. Follow Wise at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at Gotham SN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Happy holidays. Peace.
Yes, happy holidays.